This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Abolitionists, suffragists, and Underground Railroad conductors are buried in one of Ohio's oldest black cemeteries. Members of the Union Baptist Church have been working to research and document the lives of those buried in that cemetery, United American Cemetery, and in Union Baptist Cemetery, both historic sites owned by the church. Joining me now to talk about that work and federal funds allocated to help are University of Cincinnati Associate Professor of Africana Studies, Holly McGee. Welcome to the program, Holly.
Thank you so much for having me.
And University of Cincinnati Journalism Professor, Jenny Wolfart. Thanks for being here, Jenny.
Thanks. It's good to be back, Lucy.
Great to have you. UC is a financial supporter of Cincinnati Public Radio. Holly, these two cemeteries have been around for generations. Talk a bit about the history of these places and some of the people who are buried there.
Right. So both of the cemeteries, there are actually two cemeteries that are under the stewardship of Union Baptist Church. The first is Union Baptist Cemetery and then United American Cemetery, or as its original name is known as the United American Colored Cemetery. And so both of these are two of the oldest and largest historically black cemeteries in the state of Ohio, and they were founded by a free black congregation here in Cincinnati back in the 1840s. And over the past couple of generations, the church has really worked and labored to preserve both the physical and the historical records that are associated with the cemetery itself, the church, and the individuals who were interred. They've got roughly around 30,000 individuals who are interred there in Cincinnati, there at both of those cemeteries. And this is literally a historical who's who of black Cincinnatians. I mean, you've got judges, attorneys, police officers, very famed musicians, religious figures. You can really see the broad spectrum of black Cincinnati here at both the United American Cemetery and at Union Baptist Cemetery. Mm.
Jenny, how did it become the job of this church to maintain both cemeteries? That sounds like a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, and I had the pleasure of talking with the very hardworking and tightly knit group of mostly women who oversee that. But the Union Baptist Cemetery is the church's cemetery, so it's always been affiliated with the church. The second cemetery was the Madisonville one, was originally located in Avondale. It was by what is now a vacant lot adjacent to Martin Luther King Jr. Park. But it moved to its current location in 1883-84. And it moved because a group of white citizens were unhappy with the location. They felt that it was a nuisance or an eyesore, and so they demanded that it be moved elsewhere. You know, part of a systemic pattern of communities of color being, being unjustly served. So the Union Baptist Church actually became owner of that second cemetery in 1968. So it's been maintaining both cemeteries since that time, and it is a lot of work. There were previously sextons at each of the cemeteries, but over time that was not financially feasible to keep that. So the church has really taken on the management, the maintenance, everything with these two cemeteries.
And you mentioned there are a lot of very dedicated volunteers who are doing that work. Talk about some of the challenges of the work those volunteers are doing.
Well, number one, it's church ladies, and they're not necessarily have a long training in restoration or how to maintain a cemetery. But they're so devoted to it. The church is so devoted to it. So everybody has stepped up in ways that they've had to. I love the story of Louise Stevenson, who is one of the primary people involved in this, who for a long time was like, why are we spending money on the cemetery, you know, the upkeep of the cemetery? We've got children's programs. We've got all kinds of programs in the church where we could be spending money. And she's just such a devoted member of her church. But her pastor reached out to her and said, you know, this is an important thing. And as Louise would say it, when your pastor tells you to do something, you got to step up and do it. That's but then the more she learned about what Holly was just talking about the history of these cemeteries, she was like, this is so valuable for us. This is such an important calling for us. So Louise and many other people that have helped really kind of dug in and did that. But they've had to learn things like cemetery maintenance and who to find that can not just mow the lawn, but you've got headstone upkeep, but you've got all kinds of things. So they've really done a lot of networking and reached out. There are other Black cemeteries and other cemeteries, Jewish cemeteries around town have been very helpful. So they've networked to find people who are devoted to helping this whole idea of restoring and preserving these cemeteries.
Well, and Holly, there have been some problems with vandalism, too, that the church has had to deal with.
Talk to us about that. You know, one of the sad realities of places like Black burial grounds across the United States, not just here in the city of Cincinnati with Union Baptist and United American Colored, one of the sad realities is that a lot of these places are historically have been founded on the civic periphery. And so when you're founded on the civic periphery and when you're forced to move, which was one of the disinterment was one of the sad realities of one of the cemeteries under the stewardship of Union Baptist. It means that a lot of the goods, services that are that others take for granted within the city periphery, you don't have those things. So you might not have the extension of waterworks or the extension of or lights or electricity or any of those things that make it possible for people to maintain and really kind of secure. And so within the grant, within the federal funding that United American has received, there is money in there to help them maintain the walls, maintain the fences, rebuild some of the places that have been rebuild some of the monuments that have been destroyed by vandals, to install a security system to ensure that that people's final resting places can be and will be respected.
We're talking about efforts to preserve two historic Black cemeteries in Greater Cincinnati. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Let's talk about that federal funding that Holly just mentioned. What is that funding, Jenny? Where did it come from? How much is it? Tell us all about that.
So that is a $750,000 grant that is from the National Park Service. And I was just double checking. And actually, Holly was one of the grant writers for that. So she may be able to specify the exact details of that. But it was one of only, if I remember correctly, one of only eight grants that were awarded for last year to the Union Baptist Church to do this, the preservation of the Madisonville Cemetery.
And we were also I believe we were only one of two or three that actually received the full funding.
Oh.
So it was the grant total, it had a ceiling of $750,000, and we were able to claim all of that. I'm very excited about that.
Well, what was your reaction when you heard you got the, not just the money, the big money?
Right. I honestly, I have a photograph that I can show you. It's a very inglorious photograph of myself, but we were at a program during Black History Month 2024, and there was something where I was emceeing a program, and I had no clue. And at one point, I very awkwardly was directed to the stage while Pastor was speaking, and he began to read that we found out that we received the money, and tears began streaming down my eyes. And it turned out that everyone at the church already knew. They'd found out the day before, but they decided not to tell me. They were like, oh, let's get her reaction. And I was like, don't ever do something like this again, because I'm just crying. But there were tears and people shouting for joy and praising the Lord, as well we always should be doing. But it was just a beautiful, beautiful moment.
Well, and wasn't this the second grant that the church had received? But the other one was smaller, but still significant.
Oh, absolutely. I cannot underplay the work and the effort of Senator Sherrod Brown's office, mm-hmm. in bringing attention to what is happening, not just at Union Baptist, but with historical Black burial grounds across the nation. And so he has been incredibly supportive and was incredibly supportive, particularly with regards to extending congressionally directed spending money to Union Baptist Church a number of years ago to help first get this work started. And so thank you so much to his office for creating the opportunity for Union Baptist to make these types of advances.
And was that initial funding, was that 400 and something thousand?
$400,000 was the grant they got in 2020.
But that's
which
a different
was
grant.
Also, I'm sorry?
That's a different grant. I'm so excited.
Oh, yeah. I thought she was talking about the Union Baptist Cemetery Preservation.
No, she's talking about the $164,000 that we received from Senator Sherrod Brown's office. I know it has been, we are experiencing an embarrassment of riches, and it is a blessing to know that after hundreds of years of being dispossessed and pushed to the peripheries, that people are really centering the histories, both local, national, regional, that are just right there buried in the ground, like the histories of these churches, of these interred individuals. It's the history of America. And so it's been amazing that we're able to recover these things.
Well, and that sounds like a lot of money. It is a lot of money, but there is a lot of work to be done.
Oh,
talk
absolutely.
About what that funding will help the church do.
Specifically, so there are, the church has spent quite a bit of time identifying what a lot of its greatest needs, what its immediate threats are. And so certainly things like physical danger to visitors with regards to, needing to trim back hedges and falling branches, dead trees, securing things like projects like stabilizing deteriorating conditions when it comes to land masses and where they've got like hills and mausoleums that are built and exposed caskets coming up, people's burial grounds being separated from their headstones, and so needing to rematch those things. Stabilization of a lot of the physical structures. And then one of the big things that we're really working towards is beginning to digitize the burial records of individuals. So since the 1840s, Union Baptist Church has been keeping handwritten records of people's death certificates. It is amazing. I can't wait until they're actually accessible by the public. But you can see the Black lived experience in the so-called North in the 19th century, at the turn of the 20th century, just by looking at people's burial records to see, where they lived physically, to see a lot of the names are still a lot of those big Cincinnati names that we see today. And then even to see the cause of death for people in very particular age ranges, for people to see all of these things play out. And so this is one of the larger projects. But so not just recovering, again, the physical landscape of the cemetery, but the actual historical records that are connected to them.
Jenny, you had a beautiful article in Cincinnati Magazine, which was the jumping off point for this conversation, and you describe kind of encountering those records. Can you talk to us about that, how they're stored, what it's like to be in that room, just what you encountered?
Yeah, so it's this, I call it, like this little inner sanctum room inside of Union Baptist Church. It is a very humble, small little meeting room with a meeting table and one little oscillating fan and one fluorescent light from the corner. Mm-hmm. But it's got cabinets all around and filing cabinets and drawers, and they are filled with these, as Holly was just talking about, these handwritten, meticulously handwritten, this beautiful cursive
beautiful,
writing notes, these
beautiful
death notices, right? And then cemetery plot cards that identify where people are buried in this. Most of that is particular to Union Baptist Cemetery, but they've also taken on the records when they took on for the second cemetery as well. But anyway, so it's this tiny room that's filled with, and there's maps. There's one giant map that they have. It's like a plot map, and it's like a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy that's been blown up to put on this big board, so that when people who might have relatives buried there reach out to the church, they do their best. This small little band of volunteers do their best to see if they can track that record, find that name, look at the year of death, look at the surname of the person. And it can be tedious work, because people may not always remember the exact year that their great-grandma died that's buried here, but they remember the story that was handed down, and they have the name. Maybe they don't have the, they have a married name of somebody, so they do the best they can. But the cataloging that Holly was just talking about is a partnership with the Hamilton County Library, and they are... What's so cool is that all of these records will be accessible to anyone. You don't even have to have a library card. If you wanted to search that you might have an ancestor in either of these cemeteries, you'd be able to search through those databases. So it's really an amazing partnership with the library that's making that part of it going to be so much easier for people. So you don't have to ask these three or four ladies who are working in that inner sanctum room to be able to help you do that anymore, which allows them to be doing other church work that they also do in addition to the cemetery work.
Sure. So those digitized records will be searchable, which is going to be so important.
Oh, absolutely.
But will you still be able to see that beautiful handwriting?
Yes, you will. This is something that we wanted to make sure no one missed out on, being able to see that beautifully handwritten script. I believe if I'm not mistaken, Miss Louise, actually, we had a conversation about this once, because you can see it's from about 1850 is one of the earliest records I've been able to put my hands on. Well into the 20th century, they're writing things by hand. And so the way that Miss Louise explained it to me, over all that time, there were only four or five women in the church who served in that position as the official scribe. And so it's beautiful to see this script. So when you click on the records, you should be able to see, they'll have digitized that page and scanned that page so you can actually see that, which I think is amazing, right? It's just this amazing glimpse into history.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How important is it for families to be able to do that genealogical research at cemeteries like this?
Oh, listen, for Black Americans, I cannot understate the importance of being able to do genealogical searches. So for the first 10 years of my career here at the University of Cincinnati, I was a professor in the Department of History. I'm now in the Department of Africana Studies. But when I was a professor in the Department of History, when I taught the African-American History Survey Part 1 and Part 2, one of the things that I have my students do, I'm not a big fan of making students write a pointless 20, 30-page paper. I'd much rather prefer you do something that meets you where you are, that has some type of personal relevance and something that really kind of resonates within you. And so I have my students do a genealogical search. And for years, when I would have my students do these genealogical searches, I take them down to the Underground Railroad Freedom Center, we tour, they'd go upstairs where they're able to do genealogical searches. I teach all of these workshops on how to do research, how to find your families, how to do this, how to do that. And then the day would come where students have to do their 7 to 10 minute presentation on their families. And without fail, for years, you keep seeing the preponderance of students who can go back 6, 7, 8 generations. I've had students be able to trace themselves back to the Mayflower. Those are usually my non-Black students. When it comes to my students of African descent, particularly Black American students, it's very difficult to get back past, I'd say, the turn of the 20th century, right? It's very difficult to get that far back, into the early 19th century, into the early 1900s. It's very difficult. And so something like this, recovering historical records, it changes the game. It levels the playing field. It allows people to find themselves, their families, their culture, a connection to this nation, to local, to regional politics. It's everything. It's absolutely everything.
Holly, you were talking about this grant that you wrote, that you got the big money, the church got the big money, the $750,000. Mm-hmm. There were 8 of these grants. These went to Black cemeteries in different parts of the country, if I understand. Mm-hmm. How common is it across the country for these final resting places of Black people to need this kind of help with preservation?
Oh, it is incredibly common. So common that the federal government has finally taken up the challenge of helping to recover Black burial grounds. There is an African American Burial Grounds Networked Act that has been passed by Congress. It hasn't been funded yet. It's great words, right? It's great words. But it'd be really nice to put some money behind that, so have some teeth to it. But so it is at the very least, a recognition on the part of the federal government that a lot of these final resting places that have been designed to honor both the living and the dead, particularly within Black burial grounds, that they're no longer overlooked by local, state, and national entities. A lot of times these spiritual places for African Americans, they've been carved out of places, again, as I said, that were on the civic periphery at best. They've been relocated forcibly at worst. And so a lot of those public resources that predominantly white cemeteries have been able to rely upon over the centuries and able to establish burial places for their ancestors, those have not been something that Black communities have been able to hold on to, have been able to maintain. When you think about the history of Blacks in America and you think about earning potential and disproportionate wages and things of that nature, most cemeteries, they rely upon their congregation. They rely upon generations of their congregation. But if you were Black in the early 20th century, there's a pretty good chance you probably got run out of town. Race riots were not just something that were, race riots and forcibly removing communities and forcibly taking over communities. communities was not something that was limited to the South or one particular state. This was happening across the nation. So there have been generations of Black Americans who have lost not just properties, communities, churches, homes, their entire beings. And so this is incredibly common across the nation. But again, the federal government is finally starting to step up and recognize that some type of federal intervention is needed in order to level that historical playing ground.
Jenny, for this church in particular, for these two cemeteries, what's the ultimate goal for preservation, for restoration of these final resting places?
It is those. It's preservation and restoration to make them safe places, to make them welcome places. But there's also a big vision behind this. Mm-hmm. And I had so much fun talking with so many people affiliated with the church and with the cemetery work. I mean, they have big visions because this, you know, to quote Louise Stevenson again, but these are places of great sorrow, but they are also places of great potential for learning and for understanding that there were very, very important Black people in Cincinnati whose stories have been lost, whose legacies have been lost. And so many people I talked to in reporting on this story would say, they bring kids out to come see this, and the impact of a young Black person kind of reading about some of the amazing people that are buried in this cemetery and the impact that that has.
I've been talking with University of Cincinnati Associate Professor of Africana Studies, Holly McGee, and University of Cincinnati Journalism Professor, Jenny Wolfarth. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WBXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Asiya Johnson. Technical director is Marshall Verbsky. I'm Lucy May. Thanks for listening.